Welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark A. Bell. Gentlemen.
Hello, Mark.
How are you doing?
Good. I'm going to ask you to put your professorial hat on here and teach me something. You've chosen a good poem. We'll get into the specific question, but it generally talks about the effect of niacin, which means that we're going to be talking about triglycerides. And we all know that atherosclerosis is the most common cause of cardiovascular disease. The effect of abnormal triglyceride metabolism has been studied for years. It's generally accepted that there is some sort of a relationship between high triglyceride levels and atherosclerotic disease. But it doesn't seem to be that simple, and it doesn't seem to be sort of a cause and effect relationship, at least in my mind. So here's what I'd like to ask you, if you wouldn't mind. As we look at all kinds of lipids, I've always been told that triglycerides, if they're very high, can cause problems, but not so much in the heart, and that they are linked to other types of lipids, and they're also linked to diabetes and obesity and things that themselves can cause or contribute to coronary artery disease. But my belief has always been that triglycerides haven't been a culprit in and of themselves. Before we get to the article, can you tell me, am I wrong?
No, I think people have worried way too much about trying to address or treat triglycerides in the past. I see a lot of clinicians who have used medications like the gemfibrozil and other fibrates and niacin to try to address either HDL cholesterol or triglycerides, and particularly the triglycerides, they're a great risk factor, but there doesn't seem like manipulating them, changing them, lowering them has any effect on health outcomes.
Interesting. Niacin, as our listeners will know, have got all kinds of side effects that patients don't like, and including facial flushing and the like. You've chosen an article from the American Journal of Medicine, published this year, 2017. It begins, for those that want to follow along, on page 173. It addresses the clinical question of whether niacin is effective to reduce cardiovascular events and mortality in patients with or at risk of coronary artery disease. So in some big sense, this systematic review is attempting to address this. What do they find, Mark?
Yeah, this is, we've been trying to beat up on HDL cholesterol for a long time, and it is associated, lower levels are associated with cardiovascular events and heart disease. A lot of the studies that on niacin were done back in the 1970s and 1980s, and those trials were done before we were routinely using statins. So the question is, in current clinical practice where we routinely use statins for lipids, what's the role of niacin? So they tried to find any studies, any randomized trials that compared niacin with placebo, either alone or in combination with a statin. They looked at all sorts of databases. They found 13 studies with 35,000 patients. There was one study that had over 25,000 patients, so that was the big gorilla in this group of studies. The systematic review was well done. They did an appropriate kind of analysis. Most relevant to our listeners are the several studies that were published since 2000 that looked at the effect of adding niacin to a statin. So you got someone on a statin, but their HDL is still low. Should you add a statin to raise that or attempt to raise that HDL? Niacin does result in higher HDL levels on an average of about 20%. But when you put all the data from these studies together, it didn't affect all-cause mortality. It didn't affect cardiovascular mortality, non-fatal MI, non-fatal stroke, need for revascularization, pretty much anything. The results were consistent between the studies. And even studies that specifically try to enroll patients who had low HDL levels didn't find any benefit. There were some harms to using niacin. Blood glucose control was worsened when patients were on niacin. And obviously, we all know about the flushing and GI side effects with niacin. So as the reviewer, as the poem author says, we are now flush with data about the effects of niacin in patients with elevated cholesterol. So it does raise HDL, but that really doesn't seem to matter. It's a great risk factor, but it's not a very helpful target for treatment.
You know, now with increased transparency, patients, at least in our healthcare system, can log on to their electronic health record and get all of their labs. And as listeners will know, you know, some of these labs, particularly triglyceride, are labeled as abnormal if they're elevated outside mm-hmm. of a predetermined range. And the patients flip out and say, oh, you know, I've got this high triglyceride. Why are we ignoring this? And again, it takes a relatively lengthy discussion to explain to them that this is not something that they need to worry about.
Oh, it drives me crazy. The reporting on the lab slips that we get from our, you know, hospital lab and the local Quest lab and some of these, it's like it was written in 1975 in terms of interpreting the lipid results. I mean, it's just like right. anything over 200 is abnormal. Doesn't matter if it's mostly HDL, you know, things like that are just ridiculous. It's just somebody, and I don't know if they don't want to change it because they are worried about a lawsuit or what, but I mean, it's currently just more annoying than anything else.
It's one thing for us, you know, we can convince ourselves that we know better than the verbiage on the slip and just ignore it. But for patients, they see this and it looks like they're you know, on death's door. And Anyways, thanks, Mark. Talk to you again next week.
Sounds good. Thanks, Mike.
That's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to look at this and other recent poems, please go to www.infopoems.com. Please join us again next week for another medical poem.